Sometimes it does us good to look at one of God's superheroes and take a look at his life and see the way that God used him so that we might have an idea if God wants to use us. We find a short account of Gideon's life in Judges, in the book of Judges, chapter 6 through 8. Gideon was called by God to turn the nation of Israel around from idolatry to the Lord. During his 40 years as one of the judges of Israel, Gideon was used of the Lord to accomplish this feat. If a person wanted to emulate someone in the Old Testament, Gideon in the book of Judges was a good man to emulate. At the time, we are not told a whole lot about Gideon, but we do know this. He was a farmer. He was submitted to his family. He was working in the field. He did not go to college. He did not go to seminary. And yet, God chose him to be one of the judges of Israel. And so Gideon served. He was harvesting his father's fields at night because the Midians and the Amalekites had taken over the land and they were stealing all of the food, all of the water, all of the wine, everything that Israel was producing. The Midianites and the Amalekites were stealing. And so Gideon was having to harvest at night so that they could not get a hold of this stuff. And finally, Israel, under this kind of a siege and under this kind of turmoil, turned to God and said, God, help us. And so God reached down, and for the one man he could count on, the one man he knew how he would react, he reached down and he called Gideon. God always answers with a young man who is minding his own family's business. That brings us to Judges chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained to Joash, the Abizarite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the wine presses to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, do you see the doubt and lack of trust that Gideon had about God's interest in Israel? We find it in Judges 6:13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. It's a legitimate question that Gideon asked. He says, where's all the miracles? We've been told about all these wonderful things that God has done. And it's that way with us, too. We are told all the wonderful things that God does, and God is still doing those wonderful things. We just have to look for them. And that was Gideon's problem. He had heard about all these things, but he did not believe all those things because he did not see them. He was out there just working the fields for his father, trying to get in the harvest. Through the angel, God gave Gideon an assignment and reminded Gideon who was giving the orders. God is the one who directs us, not us, not some friend of ours. It is God who is giving us the directions. And through the angel, God gave Gideon an assignment. And he reminded Gideon All right, Gideon, you're working for the Lord, not for your father. Judges 6:14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? God sent Gideon, nobody else. God was the one who sent Gideon. God wants to send each one of us. He wants us to be used of him to accomplish what he wants accomplished here. Gideon makes an excuse here as to why he cannot do this thing which the angel assigned to him. And we must remember that the angel is a messenger from God. And it's going to be God giving the orders. It is not Gideon or anybody else doing the commanding. We come under the same relationship that Gideon did. You and I are under the command of God. We are servants of the Lord. We're servants of the Lord Jesus. We are servants of God, since he bought us with the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we always need to keep in mind that God is the one who is directing us. So we're told that the Lord reassures Gideon. Judges 6:16. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, there were thousands, tens of thousands of the Midianites. They were everywhere. And God tells Gideon, you're going to be the man who destroys them. Gideon is not convinced that this is God talking with him. Sometimes we need convincing. Sometimes God talks to us, and sometimes we have other people talking to us, or we have another one talking to us. We all have an enemy. And that enemy will try and deceive us. He will try and use other people, or he will try and use other ministers to deceive us. And so we have to be on the watch as to who is talking. So Gideon does what was established under the Old Testament law. Any time that a person prophesied, there was always a sign connected with it. Always. And so Gideon does the only thing that he knows to do, and he requests a sign from the one giving the prophecy of the future. We live in an age of grace, and we are not supposed to request a sign to establish God's authority. He is God. And we're supposed to obey God by faith. Gideon was living under the law, not under faith. So Gideon asked for a sign, and it was a legitimate request. This is where the instruction comes from. We're to walk by faith, not by fleece. And today, so many of us want to walk by fleece. We want to put a fleece out and have God come back just to reassure us, because we're not sure that God is the one talking to us or God is the one directing us, because we have gotten so out of touch with God. We have used our own rationale. We have used our own logic to accomplish most of our lives as to bring us to the place we are. And so when God speaks to us, there are times where we want to ask, okay, God, if I put my fleece out, will you do this? And if there's a fleece out there, and that fleece is wet or dry, whichever it is that we're asking for, then we go ahead and step. And God in his mercy, God in his grace, loves us enough that occasionally he will let us put out that fleece. And he will answer. He will answer to help us to make the decision. So Gideon was living by the law. We are living by faith. Total difference. Judges 6:17. And he said to him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Have you ever asked God for a sign? I have. I have. And I'm sure that you probably have from time to time. Ask God. But I want you to see something here about Gideon. Gideon is unsure about who this might be. So he covers himself by offering a sacrifice to whomsoever this might be. It was not like Gideon was able to go in and open a couple of cans and make a meal ready. That's not what he did. It took some time to kill and dress a young goat and fix a meal for this strange person. But the person had said that he would wait. So Gideon worked as quickly as he could to fix everything. It probably took hours. He had to build a fire. He had to roast the goat. He had to kill the goat. He had to dress the goat. That's a lot of work. But Gideon was willing to do this just in case. This really was an angel of God. Judges 6:18 and 19. Gideon says, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth thy present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. If God gives his word, God will keep his word. He will keep his word. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth from the goat in a pot and brought it out to him under the oak and presented it. Remember, this angel was not standing there. He was sitting there leaning back against that oak. And so now came the test. How would this apparent person respond? Would he eat the meal that Gideon had prepared? Or what would he do? Judges 6:20 and 21. And the angel of the Lord of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. Pour out the broth on the offering. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there arose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. What a great way to depart. Burn up the offering, the sacrifice, and go away and leave Gideon by himself. At that point, Gideon knew that this was not an ordinary man, but an angel of the Lord. And Gideon also knew that a person cannot see God or his representative and not die. So God answered Gideon concerning this incident. Judges 6:22-24. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah, of the Abiezrites. This was just what Gideon needed to confirm that his father and the neighbors were worshiping the wrong gods. So Gideon received additional instructions from God about that. I believe that the Holy Spirit instructed Gideon about how to go about the task and what would please God. And he followed the leading of the Spirit to accomplish what was needed to be accomplished. Gideon destroyed the false god Baal and the grove that it was in. He cut down all the trees. He used the trees to build a fire and to burn up the idol of Baal. And Gideon gave a name for that place. He called it Jehovah Shalom. That means God Almighty, because that's who God was to Gideon. Judges 6, 25 through 27. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altars of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he had feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. When the men of the city came out and saw that their idol, Baal, had been disposed of, they immediately wanted to kill Gideon. They wanted his father to bring him out, because his father was a Baal worshiper too. So God did not permit that to happen. Gideon's father took up for him. He knew he had been right. So at this point, let's move on to the battle and the things that Gideon is known for. And we'll move on to verse 33 of chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 33 through 35. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. So now Gideon thinks that he has an army. But Gideon is not 100% sure that this is what God intended for him. So, time to test God. But Gideon, remember, he was not living by faith in any way. And we should not do what he did. Either we have faith about what God wants, or we don't have faith. We are told in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Gideon was definitely walking by sight. Gideon was not content with the first test, but needed a second to confirm his trust in the Lord. Judges 6, 36 through 40. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early in the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. Now, he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied at that point. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew. And Gideon and God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. There you have the first part of Gideon's challenge. He still had a way to go, because Gideon was mentally doing things in his own strength. And sometimes we set out to accomplish things, and we set out to accomplish them in our own strength. We think we have the resources that we need rather than let God provide the resources. He was ready to make a change, but he had not made it yet. And sometimes we are the same way ourselves. We know God wants us to do something, and we have put a fleece out, and the fleece came back the way we wanted it. And we put out a second fleece sometimes just to make sure that we're not doing the wrong thing. And God takes care of that too. So we see something to do, and we move ahead trusting our own wisdom to help us accomplish what we think we're supposed to do, until God somehow reminds us to trust in him for what needs to be done. So Gideon had blown a trumpet, and 30,000 men had come to him to defend Israel against the Midianites. God wanted to show Gideon how he could count on God. And I don't know where Gideon got the idea for his army when he finally got one that God liked, but he was a success in the power of God. I'd like for us to consider what Gideon surrendered of his own will. Here was Gideon, willing to serve God, who had called him to be the one to deliver Israel. He had an army of 30,000 men against a much larger force of the enemy. And God said, you have too many men for me to get credit of defeating your enemy. So let all the men who are afraid go home. And when Gideon made that announcement, if you're afraid, you may return home. 22,000 men out of the 30,000 went home. 22,000. They were afraid. They picked up their stuff and left. Judges 7, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful, then 22,000 went home. And God was still not satisfied, even with 10,000 men. So he whittled the crowd down to 300. He tested them. He said, go down, tell them to get a drink. If they lap like a dog, tell them go on. No, if they lap like a dog, put them over here in this group. If they bend down and suck the water up, send them home. So he sent home 900 and 9,700 men. That left 33,300. Now, Gideon was not confident what God was getting ready to do with him. So God orchestrated an expedition for Gideon to convince him that God was in control. How could God convince Gideon that God was in control? Verses 9 through 11 of chapter 7. And there came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shalt thy hand be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So Gideon took his servant and went down to the edge of the army. Let's see what God had and what God did to convince Gideon to follow God's instructions. Judges 7, 13 and 14. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came in unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the word of God, the son of Joash. The word of Gideon, the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For unto his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Now, how do you imagine God made those men discuss what they discussed? God is able to touch hearts. He's able to change hearts. He's able to change our hearts if necessary, or the hearts of the people that we are dealing with. And that's why I hope you are praying that as we go out to the fair at the end of this month and the early part of November, that God will prepare the hearts of the people that we are going to meet out there at that fair. That we will be able to encourage them, to give them gospel tracts, and some of them will turn to God, be willing to turn to God and pray the prayer of the sinner and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. The next verse is really a lesson for all of us when we know God's will for our future life. Judges 7:15. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, and look at what he did. And he worshiped. He worshiped. And he turned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered unto your hand the host of Midian. I thought that was so fantastic. He worshiped God, and we need to do the same. As God helps us through tribulation, helps us through problems, we need to worship God. Much of our life should be spent worshiping God. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday nights. Whenever God does something for you, and that will be most of the time, we should take the time to stop and worship God. Well, we know that the Midianites destroyed each other, and Gideon served as a judge of Israel for 40 years. What is there about Gideon that you can emulate as you serve God as he has called you to serve. I know we're early tonight, but this is what the Lord gave me to share with you tonight. Father, we need your help. We need to grow. We need to know whether or not this other church should become a part of us. And we need to know whether we should become a part of that. So, Father, help each one of us within our hearts know your will. Show us, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit, what it is you would have us to do. And, Father, we would ask that you would be glorified by whatever is done. Open the doors that need opening. Close the doors that need to be closed. And, Father, we will follow you no matter what, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.